I loved having my own room. Didn't happen right away for several years. I spent several years in the room with my brother Lane, and he drove me nuts because not Brent. Not Brent's fine. Lane's fine too, but I probably drove him nuts too because Lane was not the neatest kid in grade school, and I was kind of neurotically neat. I actually started making the bed on my own volition starting in third grade. I grew out of that. But it was probably a very special time for us both when that time finally came when Mom and Dad rearranged the portion of the basement. And I didn't think of it as in terms of I was being delegated to the basement. I thought of it in terms of I finally got my own room. And I was really excited. And you know, to this day, I still kind of get that feeling. One of the perks of being a pastor is you kind of get your own room. Now, you have to work in it, right? Things like that, but it's nice to have one's own room. And in fact, I think that's a natural feeling. We love having a place that we can call our own. It could be a dream home, or a vacation cabin, or a retirement home, or even if it's not something that's permanent, we like special spaces, like preparing venues for weddings. They're always carefully decorated, even if it's temporary. I think this is basic. It's basic human nature to want to have a home, a space of our own, a place that we can call our own. In fact, I think such yearnings actually have their roots in the soul, in their goal, in heaven, where Jesus said he was preparing a place for us. I'd like to compare two passages that are not often juxtaposed, maybe should be more often, because I think both of them speak to that fundamental yearning for a home and the promise that Christ made us, that he's preparing a home, a place that's ours and ours forever. And it also speaks to our fundamental need for the Lord. Now, the first passage that I read is from Genesis, which begins in the book of Genesis with an account of creation. Of scholars traditionally considered Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, as a second creation story that contradicts and competes with Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. I can't tell you how many times I've read that. Apparently, Moses, the traditional author of Genesis, could not decide which account to include, so included both. However, I recently read of a couple of German scholars by the name of Kyle and David, you don't have to remember their names. They lived over a century ago. Based on rabbinic commentary of the passage, offered a different interpretation. See, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, the passage speaks of earth, the creation of the earth. Now, it's the same word for earth that you find in Genesis chapter 1, but there's something different about that word for earth. It's got a really broad definition. There's another word like that in the Hebrew scriptures. It's translated as coastlands. And you'll find that word in the prophets every once in a while. A coastland can be a little tiny island in the middle of a moderate-sized lake, or it can be a slightly larger island just off the shore of the ocean. Or it can be Australia, or it can be both of the Americas. That phrase for coastland is anything that has a coast, regardless of how big or how small. And the word for earth in Genesis 2:4 has got the same breadth of definition. The word for earth can mean the planet. It can mean the entire planet. Or it can mean a section of the planet, continent, or it can mean a country on that continent, or it can mean an estate, or it can mean a garden. And I think on this passage, when they talk about the earth or the land, they're actually talking about a garden. And that what the passage is really about is that it's referring to the garden, the creation of the Garden of Eden. Because of all the things God created, there was one creation that was so special that it warranted having the creation of a special place for that creation, the creation of humanity of men than women. And so it's very similar, when you look at it that way, to what Jesus spoke of the night that he was betrayed. He spoke of going to prepare a place for his disciples. Echoing the passage, speaking of the Garden of Eden in Genesis, Jesus spoke at this time of preparing a place, a special place, not for creation, but for the permanent abode of those who are saved by him. Now, the application for that is this, that heaven is a sort of return to the garden. In fact, if you take a look at the subject, some of the features of the Garden of Eden you will find in John's depiction of heaven in the book of Revelation. The river of life that's in the Garden of Eden is in heaven. The tree of life that Adam and Eve were not allowed to eat because they'd eaten of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they weren't supposed to eat that. And so they were forbidden from eating the tree of life. That's back in the Garden of Eden. Revelation tells us that the tree of life will be available to us in heaven. That it will be the heaven that we have before us, the New Jerusalem that we have before us. It is kind of like the garden, but far superior. And the application then is that that is something to keep in the back of your mind and think about. Because the book of 1 Corinthians tells us that we're supposed to be steadfast in the works of the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but there are some days where I need a little encouragement to be steadfast in the works of the Lord. That I'm not always that gung-ho. I know a pastor isn't supposed to say that, but I'm not always that gung-ho about doing the works of the Lord every single day. There are some days I get a bad attitude, and I need something to think about, something that's going to straighten me out and encourage me and get my sights on the right thing. And the Bible consistently tells us that, and the Bible also tells us there will be times when we all need this, when we need to be encouraged, when we need to be straightened out. The Bible says, think about your destiny as a Christian. Think about what's before us. Think about how much you'd love to have a little place of your own. And think about the promise that goes from Genesis all the way to the shadow of the cross, that Jesus said he goes to prepare a place for you that you can call your own, and no one will ever take it away from you. Like many things we read in Scripture, what was in their past, it's in our future, and sometimes it's good, especially if you're having a bad day, to think about that. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, that your word would have its worth, as the Holy Spirit causes us to grow and to change and to be more like our Savior, in whose name we pray.